Welcome to the Mystery Twins Detective Agency. I'm Liam S. Smith, and I took 7 months off from podcasting for killing a guy.
I'm Regan Lloyd, and I'm going to take a gamble on bringing you back to the podcasting force.
Ooh, that's a risk that I'm willing to take. This is our podcast where we try to outfox TV detectives and solve mysteries before they can.
Which was a poor choice for this week.
Yep. Today we watched the first episode of Luther, starring Idris Elba.
I realised 2 minutes in that it was not, as I previously thought, about Lex Luthor, the villain.
Were you thinking of Smallville or something?
I think I just assumed because of, like, Jessica Jones and Arrow and everything. Like, there was a show called Luther, and I was like, all right.
Oh, yeah, it makes sense that this BBC production starring Idris Elba would be about...
I didn't know it was BBC. I thought it was an American one.
Okay, right.
So I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, as you alluded to before, apparently Luther is a show where, in most episodes, you know who did the crime from very early on, and it's about figuring out how they did it.
So that's really ruined our mystery envelope segment.
Yeah, kind of ruined our game, but we sort of ad hoc, during our watch, decided to try to reconstructure the game around that concept.
Here's a hot spoiler for you. I had no fucking idea. I couldn't even make a guess.
I did figure it out, but the way the episode is structured, you only have the necessary information seconds before it's explained to you explicitly.
Right, yes.
So, Luther. What is there to say about Luther?
Okay, so as Liam mentioned in his intro, Luther has been off work because he killed a man.
Yeah, more or less.
It was a criminal.
Yep.
That doesn't make it right.
A bad, bad murder man.
Also, he's a policeman. He's not just a
murderer
man off the street who solves crimes, which seems to be the way that most detective shows go.
Yeah, a lot of your consultant detective type shows.
Yeah, so that was a nice change to have someone who's actually doing stuff.
And he very briefly had the sort of obligatory constable sidekick that you see in these sort of shows, but he was in about one scene.
I didn't even realise he had a constable sidekick. That's how little that guy was in the show.
DS Justin Ripley was there for the initial investigation, and then I don't think he ever showed up again. But according to the Wikipedia page, he's a main character in the first 3 seasons and a recurring one in the 4th.
Well, there you go.
Our other main characters of Luther are Ruth Wilson as Alice Morgan, evil serial killer, apparently.
Was she a serial killer, or did she just do this one thing?
Well, she's killed before and she's in the show in future, so presumably she'll kill again.
Has she killed before?
I mean, in this episode, she has killed.
Right, okay.
Also, we have his wife, Zoe Luther, who seems to be some sort of high-powered businesswoman.
She's a humanitarian lawyer.
Oh, okay, that's cool. They are separated, and she has a new boyfriend, Mark North, played by Paul McGann, or aka Doctor Who number 8.
I did not recognise him.
I only recognised him in about the last 5 minutes of the episode. And I recognised him from his voice because I, more than having seen the one TV movie that Paul McGann was in as Doctor Who, I've listened to a few of his audio dramas and he has a very, very nice voice in those.
Ah, there you go.
Did I just out myself as a massive nerd?
Nah. Okay.
That was already blindingly obvious.
Yeah, I was going to say no more than usual is what I meant.
So yeah, that seems to be our core cast. Also, there's his boss, whose name escapes me, DSU Rose Teller, who is apparently only a main character in the first season. Possible death in future?
Who?
Rose, the woman who kept making movie references and was his boss.
Ah, yes.
Music references, okay. Rather, not movie references. So those are our people of interest. Shall we get into the recap?
Let's do it.
Crack open this gosh darn case file.
Do we have to do anything to open the case file?
magnifying glass sounds. So we open in a prologue as Luther is chasing a man through a warehouse, and meanwhile the rest of the cops are basically waiting for him to call them.
Yes.
Yep, good work.
I didn't really understand what was happening in the first bit because I was so shocked that it was not American that I didn't pick up anything anyone said because the accents threw me off.
Okay, that's fair. It was en media res, so that can be a bit throwing sometimes.
It was what?
In media res. You know, where you start in the middle of an adventure?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Luther's chasing the guy through the warehouse and then he looks at the camera and says, "You're probably wondering how I got here."
Yeah, there's a record scratch and he
he stops time frames. Like Zach Morris.
That would have been fucking helpful.
I mean, he probably still would have done the same thing.
So please explain to me what happened.
So he's chasing this man through the warehouse and the man comes to a dead end and then tries to attack Luther with a pipe, but it doesn't work because he's so goddamn hard.
Also, at this point, I still thought he was a superhero or a supervillain.
Well, yeah, either the catwalk they're on falls out beneath this criminal guy or Luther destroys it somehow. So that's not an unreasonable assumption.
Yeah.
And the guy is hanging by his fingertips and Luther, John Luther, we should explain, his name's John, takes this time to sort of interrogate him. And it's like, where is she? Where is she? Tell me where she is. Blah, blah, blah. And we learn that the woman, the girl they're looking for is in a sealed box behind a secret compartment in his living room. So he calls up...
Horrifying.
He calls up Rose and the other guy and they go crack her out. Luther is... He's not standing on his fingers, but he's doing everything else leading that would imply that. He's emotionally standing on this guy's fingers as he tries not to fall to his death in this warehouse.
That's a very good analogy.
Yeah. And I got the impression at least that Luther was waiting to see if this girl was still alive or not to decide whether or not he would throw this guy to his death or pull him up. And yes. Eventually they find her. She's in some sort of terrifying attaché case and they CPR her and she coughs awake in that way people do in TV when they're being CPR'd.
Do they also do it in real life?
I don't know. I've never CPR'd someone. They hear the guy screaming through the mobile as Luther continues to interrogating him saying, are there any other people? Who else is there? Etc, etc. He falls and smash cut to opening titles.
Because Luther also says he dug one girl out of the ground.
Yeah, that was intense.
So he's obviously very, like, fucked up by this guy's actions.
Yeah, and I guess this is kind of a show where Luther's meant to be a guy who walks that sort of line between being a brilliant detective and also sort of mildly deranged. No, deranged is the wrong word. Unstable. Yeah, he has a lot of personal problems, and also he doesn't really know where to draw the line in his work.
Or in his personal life, to
yes,
be fair.
Yes, exactly. He dismantles a door in a later scene.
Ooh, yes, he does.
But we'll get to that in due course. Opening credits are pretty fancy. A lot of red imagery, there's barbed wire, there's bullet holes, there's silhouettes. I liked it.
It's very noir,
yes.
But red. Very rouge.
Good way of putting it. And then we cut to 7 months later, and we get a nice title card. There's a blog that I follow, which is just flash-forward title cards, and I imagine this is on it somewhere.
What's a flash-forward title card?
Like, the text on the screen says, 7 months later.
Oh, okay.
There's a call, because there's been a grisly murder in an English cottage. We get a very graphic shot of a dead dog and two dead old people.
We do indeed.
Let me tell you what dead dogs mean in my other podcast, because I think it's applicable to this. My other podcast is called JoJo's World, where we recap and discuss JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, popular animated series from Japan. And it's a thing amongst fans of that to observe that the author of that series has a habit of killing dogs whenever a dog shows up in the show. And the reason he does this is to demonstrate that the person who kills the dogs is a really bad dude because dogs are sweet and wholesome and everybody loves them.
Yeah, it serves the same function as this.
Yeah, and I think, as we soon learn, the fact that the killer in this case killed the dog is pretty indicative of her moral fibre.
Fucking spoilers that it's a her.
So there is this absolutely distraught, innocent young daughter calling the police, covered in blood. You'd think that would be suspicious.
I don't think she was covered in blood. I think her hands were covered in blood.
Okay, there was like definitely a lot of blood, like, around and on her clothes. But
yeah.
I guess she could have touched her clothes after touching her dead dad dog.
So this is within definitely less than 12 minutes of the show starting.
Yep.
I would say maybe less than 10.
Ooh, that important so 2 minute distinction.
I know. Well, because they were definitely in the police station by 12 minutes.
Yeah.
So this is the point where I went, oh, it was the daughter. And then I was like, I'm not going to write that down because that is definitely the sort of red herring they give you straight away.
Well, between this and Elementary episode one, I'm formulating a theory that for first episodes, you're going to get a lot of murderers who are in the family.
I think, yeah, it's an easy beginning point.
Yeah, I think in a lot of... This one sort of circumvented it by being so to the point and not really having two characters that they had to get to know each other, like in our previous two episodes. But I think in a lot of pilots, you are going to have a simple mystery and the person
and more
who's
of a focus on relationship building rather than
It's often going to be someone who's immediately at hand. Even in last week's episode, I've already forgotten the name of that show because of how much of a nothing it was to me. Private Eyes. It was someone who was present at the time of attempted murder.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And really, what are hockey team members if not family?
No yachts.
Yeah, no yachts. Hustle always wins. Luther never stops hustling. He's like... When did this come out? This show came out in 2010.
Jesus Christ, I did not realise it was that...
Recent?
No, that old.
Oh, okay.
Because I've had so many people recommend it to me in the last 6 months.
Well, there's been four seasons.
Well, I think also it's just come on Netflix and that's why a lot of people have just gotten into it.
Because John really reminds me of Nicholas Angel from Hot Fuzz, but in a non-comedic capacity.
Who plays Nicholas Angel?
Simon Pegg.
Right, okay.
Yeah. In that they both never stop working and they're really intense cops and they are apparently never wrong, apart from in their personal relationships, which are very strained.
Good point.
Yeah. So where were we?
I have no idea.
Oh, they call up Luther because there's been a grisly murder and they need to get him on the case. And he's exactly where we last saw him, standing over this pit in this warehouse. And I like to imagine he's just been there the whole time.
The whole
7 months. Oh shit, symbolism. Luther as a character ceases to exist when he's not a cop. So that's why we've seen him. We last saw him in the exact same location he's in now, because it's integral to his identity.
That's actually pretty good.
Yeah, right? I'm putting my English degree to good use.
Absolutely.
They call him up. They get him back on the case.
Yeah. So there's been a hearing and they've cleared him of murder, I think.
Yeah, or there's going to be no disciplinary action. But like, you know, stick to protocol. Any sort of proactive strategy you take, you have to run by me, DSU Rose Teller, played by Saskia Reeves.
What?
His boss.
You said so many words. They're just okay.
Keep up. Gotta be good detectives.
This is why I can't ever solve crimes, because I'm like, sorry, can you slow down your talking? Which is weird, because I watch Gilmore Girls pretty much constantly.
Do they talk a lot in that? I can't remember.
They talk very rapidly.
Okay, right, like in Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip by Aaron Sorkin.
Yes.
And Everything Else by Aaron Sorkin.
Anyway, so, yep, so...
They call him up, we meet his sidekick, who I thought was going to be his sidekick, but is apparently only in one scene this episode. DSU Justin Ripley or whatever his name was. DS Detective Sergeant, I guess.
I believe so.
What is DSU? I don't know, dog. What's DS with you?
That was terrible. Is DSU actually an acronym or did you just make it up for that joke? Oh, okay. It's Detective Sergeant Uno because you're the number one Detective Sergeant.
Directorate of Special Units, apparently. Although these are taking me to a Belgian Wikipedia page, so perhaps not.
That checks out.
All right. Okay, yes. So they go to the crime place.
The scene of the crime?
Yeah. And this has actually been my favourite, for the purposes of this podcast, favourite crime scene investigation we've had so far. It taught us several really valuable detective lessons, which we need to internalise. Such as, when you're investigating a crime scene, keep your hands in your pockets because it reduces the temptation to touch shit.
I did enjoy that.
So good. Because the mystery of this episode isn't in who did it, it's in how they did it. They very briefly breeze over the important pieces of evidence, like the fact that the daughter apparently left the door unlocked when she went out, and that there was no signs of burglary or attempted sexual assault, and that murder was committed with a low-caliber handgun, which they haven't found.
So they breeze over these during an interrogation scene between Luther and the daughter.
Yes, they bring her in for, you know, what at the time I'm sure was a perfectly routine questioning when your parents have been murdered.
But she just sort of sits there.
Luther goes in and within about, I don't know, a minute of conversation, he's figured out she's a murderer.
Because he yawns and says, oh, Sorry, been a long day.
I am tired. Are you also tired?
And then he bursts into the detective room and is like,
she's a murderer.
She's a psychopath.
He also called his wife and had an awkward conversation before this. And they're going to have an important talk later after dinner. And then she started smooching Doctor Who.
So, whoops.
Yeah, anyway, so he plays back her body language and mentalists her and is like, look, she didn't yawn. Look how controlled all of her movements are. She's a psychopath.
Because the contagiousness of yawning is because
it triggers something in you. Look, I'm yawning
right now. Why would you do that?
I was being sincere. I wasn't doing a bit.
Oh, I thought you were doing a bit. And I was like, no, I'm yawning. This is terrible audio.
I'm sure our listeners are yawning now too.
It's weird that it works when you're not actually looking at each other. Because in case you're wondering.
I am literally just yawning repeatedly now. I can't help it. Something in my brain just broke.
It triggers an empathy thing and then you also yawn. But she didn't, so that proves that she has no empathy.
Okay, I think I got it out of my system now. Meanwhile, some other big cop boss comes in and talks to Luther's boss and is like, so he's back. And she says, from outer space, because she keeps making music references. And I liked this.
Which is a great trait to have.
Skeptical cop boss describes Luther as nitroglycerin and that if Rose bets too heavily on Luther, that then she will stand and fall with him. And that there's still a lot of suspicion amongst the brass about Luther because his testimony was the only one they could go on in the investigation because the only other witness is still in a coma.
And so what happens if he comes out of a coma and then is like, no, Luther tried to murder me. Also, did Luther try to murder him? I thought it was a pretty, he definitely didn't help him up, but it's not like he kicked him off the edge.
That's negligent in any case.
Yeah, I guess. Also, it seems like it would be more satisfying to bring him to swift justice because he had so much evidence rather than just let him die.
Yeah. Or Luther also seems like the guy, kind of guy who might like to dismantle him as one would with, say, a door.
Which brings us to our next scene.
No, not yet.
Don't worry about it.
Dial it back. He goes back in and talks to her and they verbally spar for a bit. Her name's Alice Morgan and she's a bad, bad person.
She's an astrophysicist or something?
Yep. She's a child prodigy. She hates her parents for turning her into a freak.
Oh, yeah, because she went to Oxford at 13. Fuck off, did anyone ever do that?
They talk about Occam's razor, where all things being equal, the simplest solution is probably the most obvious or whatever, and therefore correct, which is kind of like that Sherlock Holmes maxim that we're probably going to trade on a lot in this show, which is I'm going to pull it up.
Please do, because I have no idea what you're referring to.
Oh, it's kind of like the opposite of Occam's razor, actually. It's once you eliminate the possible, whatever remains, no matter how improbable, must be the truth.
Yeah, no, they're different things.
They're kind of the exact opposite, in fact. So but that's good. That's kind of two different approaches we can take to our mystery solving.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Anyway, Luther, having correctly deduced that she's a murderer, has defeated us in our fictional podcast TV game.
This happened at 18 minutes in to a 54-minute episode. Which is why I know what happened at the 12-minute mark, because I was 6 minutes behind. There you go.
Behind me.
Facts you didn't need. Yes.
Okay, right. You. Also, when they were talking about how she was a child prodigy astrophysicist, I couldn't help but be reminded of that bit in Men in Black, where Will Smith shoots the target of the little girl in the ghetto at midnight with the astrophysics book.
I can't remember anything about Men in Black.
You gotta watch that again, it's good. So they're in a shooting range, and all the other jugheads who are potential recruits to Men in Black are just shooting all the aliens. And he is Will Smith is just standing there, and then eventually he fires one shot and shoots this little girl. And then the director Zed comes out and is like, "Can you explain to me why you shot little Susie here or whatever?" And then he explains that at first he was going to shoot this big alien guy, but he could see that he was just, he had a tissue in his hand, so he was just sneezing. And then he was going to shoot this other alien guy, but then he realized he was just hanging from the light post working out. And then he saw a highly suspicious little girl with astrophysics book out at midnight and decided that couldn't lead to anything good. So he shot her, and it's a metaphor about racism.
Ah.
What are we talking about again?
Luther.
All right, yeah. Luther's good.
So, now is he seeing his wife?
Sure.
He does that.
Oh, they have to let Alice go because they have no evidence. Everyone knows it was her. So he goes see his wife. It's late. She's been at an important dinner. Probably not business, like Luther thought.
Nope, it was an important dinner with her beau.
Important dinner date. He comes in and is like, hey, we've been separated for a while, but I want to get back together. And she's like, I'm seeing someone. He's an alien from the future.
And then Luther punches a door in.
He punches this door so much. It's like a white wooden door with those four panels. And he sort of systematically dismantles everything about the door.
Yeah, panels first. So then we've just got a nice little like...
frame. Door frame.
I don't want to say peephole, but four little bits you can see through the door.
Yeah, and then he sort of widens those out a bit more too.
Yep.
And then what, he just leaves? He takes the door apart then leaves?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. I think he does. And then he goes to a bar and then a buddy cop shows up and is like, oh, Zoe called me.
And he takes off his wedding ring.
Which is important in the next scene.
Go on.
Because in the next scene, basically nothing happens while he's at the bar. Alice notices he's not wearing a wedding ring and says some stuff and also tries to furk him.
Before this happens, though, there was a very brief interlude of the dog being cremated, and that's important for later. And in this thing where they're meeting, I'm pretty sure he's giving her the ashes.
I think you're right.
Yes. So they talk about how she didn't want them to have she allegedly didn't want them to have burned the dog, and that it seems pitiless to burn so much dog. I'm pretty sure that those were her exact words. So much dog. And Luther countered that it's also pretty fucked up to shoot the dog in the first place.
He's got you there, ma'am.
Yeah, and they talk about black holes and evil for a bit. And basically the whole scene is just establishing that he knows that she did it, and she knows that he knows that she did it, and he knows that he knows that.
And she knows that he doesn't have any evidence.
Yeah. And he's not wearing a... She needles him about how he's not wearing the wedding ring, as you were alluding to before.
And then he leaves, and then she does a bunch of Googling.
Yeah, she census stalks.
She Googles him and finds out about the guy that he put in a coma, mm-hmm. and then she Googles his wife, and that's how I know that she's a humanitarian lawyer.
Okay, right. Clever. Too clever.
It's almost like I was watching the show.
It's almost like you're a murderer, and I have to stop you through our podcast. Noir music.
I feel like I'm definitely too lazy, and if I can't ever solve our TV crimes, how would I, in fact, cover my own tracks?
How will you commit the perfect murder?
Well, maybe we should ask the
Zodiac killer. Fuck.
That's not funny. The Zodiac killer is not funny, but the fact that we picked that as our case to solve this week is.
Yes, that was a bad decision.
Absolutely.
Anyway, he barges into his wife's office meeting and throws her out. They have an argument, and she talks about how the train in his head never stops, and then. She says, you really frightened me last night. And he says, you know I'd never, ever hurt you. And I'm just wondering if he reimbursed her for the door.
That's a very valid question.
I feel like I'm harping about this door a bit, but he just took it apart.
No, he super did. He just dismantled a door and then was like,
yeah, and now
bye.
She has to live with that ghost of a door in her house.
Just like constantly reminding her.
Yeah.
That he punched a door.
Maybe Doctor Who goes back in time and gets a new door for her.
Yeah, that seems like the most reasonable solution.
Goes back in time and to Bunnings.
Picks up a sausage sizzle. Everyone has a great time.
Yeah. So, Luther concludes that obviously Alice still has the gun because she needs it for her own sick self-gratification.
Which is a common theme in serial killer things.
Yeah. She wants to be the centre of this Alice Morgan murder mystery thing, and the gun is like her trophy. So... He knows she has it, and he's gonna find it.
But how?
Well, after he leaves his wife's office, she goes outside and gets menaced by...
Alice in a wig.
Yeah, it was Alice in a wig. I had trouble telling, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she's wearing a black bob wig.
Okay, I didn't know if it was her or someone who she had like sort of co-opted into the scheme or...
No, I'm pretty sure it was her.
Okay.
She's got a very distinctive
face.
Who,
like, grabs her and says, don't try to look at me, and, like, jams... What was that? Some sort of...
It was a hat pin, I think.
Okay, right, yes. I thought it was some sort of elaborate earring, only because she was jamming it into her ear.
Your detective skills are second to none, Liam.
I'm flawed.
Oh, she also says that, like, Luther tried to assault her or something.
Yeah.
Did assault her.
Told her that his wife had been, like, kidnapped by a man and cut up with knives or something.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. Freaking weird. So after she's done fucking up Zoe's life, she lets her go and says, "Don't try to look at me." And then Zoe runs away and calls John, and he literally flips the table he's sitting at.
Classic John. No respect for homewares.
How much furniture can Luther destroy in his quest to solve this mystery? So his boss tells him that the best way to get through this is to bring her in the right way, but Luther's got goddamn ideas.
And that's how he ends up breaking into her house and stealing the dog's ashes.
Well, he hasn't figured that out yet, because first, other cop co-worker, whose name I never picked up on, but he's also old, comes in and is like, "Look, I've got this gun for you. It's made of plastic polymer." And that's when I figured it out. Luther starts going, "Plastic melts. Plastic melts." And then he goes and grabs a blowtorch and runs into his boss's office and is like, "Look, I can melt this gun with this blowtorch." Ergo, she shot up the dog and then shoved the bits of the gun into the dog, and they burnt the dog and also burnt the evidence.
So then how was there still a bit of the gun in the ashes?
Because it was made of metal, I guess, that bit.
Right, okay.
But I feel like someone would have seen that when they were earning up the ashes.
I would have thought so.
Because when... Oh, I guess perhaps it was... There was a lot of ash there, and I assume the only reason it was on the top when he went and looked in the urn later is because she had been sort of gloating over it.
Probably, yeah.
But anyway, these are minor quibbles. He goes to her house, breaks in and steals the urn.
And then she... lets her see him.
Yeah, because he needs her to know that he knows and can destroy her.
Because they are two sides of the same coin.
Yeah, they're like Batman and the Jokester.
And Lex Luthor.
Batman and Legs Luthor, because of his tight thighs. Anywho.
No, tell me more about Lex Luthor's thighs.
He works out. He's got a big old robot that spots him while he does his leg weights, all to destroy that damn Superman.
Excellent. Moving on.
Okay. These bits are not going anywhere. Yes. She grabs a kitchen knife and goes and sticks it into his stomach, like not stabbing him, but sticking it into him on a bridge. And he's like, "Hey, fuck off and I'll give you the urn back or whatever. And just leave my wife alone."
I spent a lot of this scene trying to figure out if I've been on that bridge.
I spent most of this scene trying to figure out if he was recording her or not, because he basically had her recount the entire plot of the episode and everything she did, and how he'll never be able to prove it. And like last week, usually when you get someone to do that in a detective show, you're recording them.
It's a good point.
But no, he just throws the urn into the river and she freaks out because her legacy is being tarnished. And then he grapples with her and is like, "Kiss me, kill me, or something." Because she's, like, super into him now.
Yeah, that's weird.
Fucked up.
What happens next?
He tosses
the metal gun at her because he had it in his pocket.
Yeah, he's like, "Take it," or I guess, because he just wanted to fake her out that he was throwing away her precious evidence.
Which would have been a good way to catch her.
Yeah, he could have set up an elaborate trap with this thing as bait, because now she's thought she lost it, she'd desperately need it back.
How does he catch her in the end?
He doesn't, she gets away.
Oh.
She's a recurring antagonist in this show because she's a perfect criminal who never leaves any evidence. Because even though they had this gun, as his boss explained, there's no way to prove that even though this gun was in the dog, that she was the one who put it there.
Or that she knew it was in the ashes.
Yes. So then to end out the episode, he goes and sees his wife again, and Doctor Who doesn't want to let him in. And eventually he sort of starts fighting him.
Yep, she's already called the police,
yep.
So they show up.
He slams Paul McGann into the cop car so hard he turns into Christopher Eccleston. These are Doctor Who jokes.
I know, so I was like, I know who Christopher Eccleston is, I don't know if you're referencing something.
Okay. I'm really going to this well a lot. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Eventually she comes out and he's like, "Hey, back off, coppers, I'm your boss." And then talks about how he accepts that she doesn't want to be with him, but he loves her, and then he leaves and puts his wedding ring back on.
Oh, Luther, you never learn.
Oh, Luther, when will you escape this toxic relationship of your own
doing? To be fair, he does have, like, a lot of traits of an abusive person.
Yeah, he is the instigator of a really toxic relationship right now.
Yeah, so that's not good.
No, but I think he's a really good, flawed character.
Yeah, I agree.
Idris Elba's performance is simultaneously like really compelling when he's doing detective work and really human and vulnerable when he's doing anything else.
He is very good.
Yeah. Mystery envelope time.
My mystery envelope is empty because I am not good at detective work.
Okay. My mystery envelope says 26 minutes - door, because that's what he was doing when I was writing it. It's her, Alice Morgan.
How did you figure out the gun thing?
Just when he said that the gun was made of plastic, I figured they melted it. It's like how you make a knife out of ice and then stab someone with that.
Yeah. All right. That checks. I didn't know if you figured out the dog thing, and I was like, how the fuck did you do that?
Because there was a specific shot of the dog being cremated, and that had to be there for a purpose.
Right.
Apologies for the rain again. I guess now we need to decide. Is this a hot case? What? Is this a, yeah, sure, is this a hot case, or has the trail gone cold?
I think it's a hot case, but I don't know how fun it is when we can't guess who the murderer is.
But we can guess how it happened.
Would you like to give it a go?
I would, and I would like to give this another go playing our game from the start on proper terms.
I agree.
So,
Gavel.
Yep, we'll be back next week with episode 2 of Luther.
Yeah, our Mystery Twins Mystery of the Week.
Open the secret mystery case file.
Who is the Zodiac Killer?
So, the Zodiac Killer was a murderer who committed crimes in the late 60s, known to have killed, I think, 7 people.
Yeah, but he mentions 37 in one of his letters.
The name originates from taunting letters in ciphers that some of them were encrypted, that he sent to the police department and the press. Much like how Jack the Ripper did similar things, I guess.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's where Jack's name comes from too, I think. So these were signed Zodiac and talking about how they'll never catch him and et cetera, et cetera. And the cryptograms were publicly published, and I think only one of them has ever been solved definitively.
Yes, and I want to know more about the people who solved it, because it was just like 2 people's names, and it wasn't like these people who are detectives. It was just like this couple solved one.
I mean, I think you see a lot of that sort of stuff where just some people are into sort of cryptography. You see a lot of TV shows and things these days doing what they call ARGs, which involve sort of cracking codes to access like promotional materials or secret show information.
I do love cracking codes.
Yeah, and I think just some forms of code encryption are just nigh impossible to crack without a specific key. And I think without that key, you're sort of guessing at what it could be, and then it's a crapshoot as to whether or not you actually solve it. Whereas some follow very specific patterns. Like, I think one of the most basic ones is called like a Caesar cipher, where it's just like every letter in the alphabet is actually moved 4 letters down, or whatever arbitrary number you'd want it to be. So A would be D, B would be E.
Ah, right, okay.
Simple forms of encryption.
Yeah.
So there's one letter that has been, they think, mostly cracked. I guess skip ahead like 30 seconds if you don't want to hear it. It's not graphic, but it's just kind of messed up.
Yeah.
Here we go. I like killing people because it is so much fun. It is more fun than killing wild game in the forest, because man is the most dangerous animal of all. To kill something gives me the most thrilling experience. It is even better than getting your rocks off with a girl. The best part of it is that when I die, I will be reborn in paradise, and they have killed will become my slaves. I will not give you my name, because you will try to sloy down or atop my collecting of slaves for my afterlife. And then the last 16 letters are gibberish.
Yeah, so that's fucked up.
Yeah. What the fuck? Serial killers, I guess. Not really
best
fuel for a comedic podcast.
No, I think I just didn't really know that much about the Zodiac Killer, except that people think it's Ted Cruz.
Yeah, so let's talk about Ted Cruz.
Yeah, I was like, this is going to be funny. And then I was reading about the Zodiac Killer and I was like, holy fuck.
This is actually really, really dark.
Super dark. And also, it's very interesting how many people have come forward or said that their dad or stepfather was the Zodiac Killer.
One specific guy was talking about how he genuinely believes his now dead father was the Zodiac Killer.
But then another guy's friend confessed to him when he was dying of liver cirrhosis that he was the Zodiac Killer.
Yeah.
And I think that's the one that a lot of people believe the most.
Oh, okay. I hadn't read that. So there's also a sketch of it that they've obtained through means that I'm not sure about, where it's a very sort of nondescript white guy with black framed glasses on.
not everyone died. Some people survived.
That's okay. Right.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I read the whole Wikipedia article.
You've obviously done more due diligence than I have.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there were, because he killed a lot of couples, but in a couple of instances, one person survived.
Oh.
Yeah. Fucked up. Let's talk about Ted Cruz.
Let's talk about, before we talk about Ted Cruz, can we talk about that time, I just want to reference it because it's funny, that time Camille Nanjiani was on the Baby Geniuses podcast talking about the Zodiac Killer, and he does this bit where it's like, what kind of person goes to their friend and is like, hey, can you lick all these envelopes for me? No, you're a serial killer.
What?
Because to send mail, and at least certainly in the day, you would have had to have licked envelopes and stamps.
Oh, yeah.
And there's DNA evidence on that. And at least according to the Wikipedia page, they've linked some of the saliva on the envelopes with Don Cheney, who was a friend of a suspect, Arthur Lee Allen.
Oh, that's weird. I'd never thought of that. Thank you for bringing that up.
Oh, sorry. No, I was just skimming that. Apparently they ruled out Cheney as being a match for that DNA. But someone would have had to have done it, right?
Yeah, but regardless, someone licked, like, are you at the post office? Like, lick it.
Hey, what's with that weird code on your envelope? Oh, I'm in a book club. Let's have the Zodiac Killer talks.
Yeah.
Ted Cruz.
Yep. So what are the compelling arguments that he is the Zodiac Killer?
Okay. He has weird delusions about being powerful. He matches the vague physical description.
Nondescript white man, yes.
Yep. What else?
That would mean he's frozen in time, right?
Yes, I was going to say the single, like, biggest piece of counter evidence is the fact that he wasn't born till about 10 years later.
Well, maybe he's like Keanu Reeves.
What does Keanu Reeves do?
He's immortal.
Is he? Good for him.
Yeah. Have you not seen the picture from, like, the 1800s of, like,
No.
It's a painting, but it's definitely Keanu Reeves. I'll find it for you. It's
okay, sure.
Funny.
Another piece of cross my podcast referencing, the author of the show, my other podcast is based on JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Hirohiko Araki, hasn't really aged visibly for the entire run of his comic, which started in like the 80s.
There are quite a few people in the public eye that haven't aged, and I'm suspicious.
Fans of the show to speculate that, like, one of the first villains, he is an immortal vampire.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What about Patrick Stewart? He has looked the same.
Yeah, but he's looked old the whole time. That's different.
Yeah. Is it though? Because you still...
I mean, when you start bald and with sort of a wrinkled head, there's not really far down you can go.
It's a very good point.
Let me put this to you.
Yes.
A man who fulfills the same criteria as Ted Cruz, at least physically, brown hair, blue eyes, white skin, average build, but who isn't restricted by not being born at the same time.
Okay.
It's Paul McGann, notable time traveler.
Oh. That's a...
That's what we call defamation.
Yeah.
All right, we've got to come to some sort of concluding remark about this case.
I think my concluding remark is we may be on our way to being the best detective agency in the world, but we're not there yet.
No, so we'll put this case file away and come back to it when we are the best detectives in the world.
Which is exactly what the San Francisco Police Department did. So
yeah, briefly reopened in 2007, but no conclusive results drawn.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe in 3 years we'll figure it out.
Yeah. So,
all right.
In future, if you would like us to solve a mystery, hit us up on our Twitter account, which is...
Oh, God. Mystery Twins DA, I think.
Or possibly MT Detective Agency.
Let me just look it up.
Because one of those is our email and one of those is our Twitter. No case too big, no case too small. From missing keys to the moon landing.
You know, it is too small. They're the character count to fit Mystery Twins Detective Agency. Everything.
Yep.
Okay, yes. I think it's Mystery Twins DA for Twitter and MT Detective Agency for email. Is that confusing? Yeah, it fucking is.
It sure is. But part of being a junior Mystery Twins detective is keeping clues separate in your mind.
Oh my God, that's a very good point.
So really, it's on you if you get them confused, listener. It's your fault.
Exactly. Now, enjoy your week, and remember, no yachts.
No yachts, hustle always wins. Follow us for what we're going to watch next week so that you can watch along and try to solve the mysteries.
Yeah.
Next week is, of course, Luther.
More Luther. Okay. We're going to move on to episode two as well, if that wasn't clear.
We're not just when we continue with the show, we will go in sequential order.
Great. Glad we got that cleared up. Have a great
wonderful.
Time.
Wonderful. Hooroo. Ear. Noir door closing noise.